Good afternoon, Lynn.
Hi, Brooke.
How are you?
Yeah, fine. Happy to be here to talk about OCD.
Yeah, definitely. And for people struggling with OCD, severity of the illness can differ for each case, and it isn't always the same. But what are the various obsessions or compulsions that people deal with?
Some of the most common types of OCD, subtypes and recognised subtypes, are concerns about cleaning and cleanliness. That's a very common one. You might be familiar with people who wash their hands a lot, who find it difficult to touch certain things. That often happens on public transport. People find it difficult to use public transport or other areas where a lot of people come into contact with things like bars and seats. Another very common one is checking. People who might, you might notice checking locks, checking things like that the iron is turned off repeatedly. And of course, as I say these things, you're probably thinking, well, these are things everybody has some concerns about. It's not unusual to be concerned about whether you've locked the door when you leave or whether you've turned off the iron. But it's when these things, as you were alluding to, get quite frequent and quite intrusive that that they become a problem and they warrant a diagnosis of OCD.
And what would you say are some of the symptoms of OCD?
Well, the symptoms that are recognised are the presence of obsessions or compulsions or both. So the obsessions might be things like, they're often recurrent and persistent thoughts that the individual perceives as unwanted. Sometimes they're around religious themes, so concerns about sinfulness. There's a subtype of OCD that's concerned with these sort of moral concerns. Sometimes they're concerned with safety, really recurrent themes around danger and thoughts of what could happen if I don't check, if I don't make sure that this door's locked, etc. So they're the sort of obsessions. And then compulsions are a whole range of things. They could be overt behaviours like washing one's hands or checking, but they could also be mental acts. So sometimes a compulsion might not be something that anyone else could see because it might be that in my head I'm counting or I'm reciting a phrase repeatedly. But the aim of the compulsions is to reduce the distress associated with the obsession.
And
I guess just to mention one other kind of OCD, sometimes people only have obsessions, and that's a really difficult form of the condition.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes people do self-diagnose themselves with OCD as well, which really they aren't really attentive or really aren't fully aware of the impacts of the disorder. So why is there a lack of awareness or so many misconceptions around the illness?
Look, I'd agree with you, Brooke. I think people do sometimes self-diagnose. In my clinical practice, I've worked with people who come in believing they have OCD, who don't meet criteria, and other people who, as you were getting at, because it's not a very widely known condition, do meet criteria but have never heard of it. So I think being able to talk about it in the kind of general community like we are now is very important for increasing awareness. But self-diagnosis is probably not the best way to identify the condition. But I should say that while, as I was mentioning before, everybody washes their hands. Everyone, I hope, is concerned about cleanliness. Most of us like to make sure the door's locked. It's when people find these repetitive behaviours taking up more than, the rule of thumb is more than an hour every day, that we start to think about this being a clinical diagnosis. But if people are worried about the idea that they might have some of these symptoms, I would recommend that they first go and see their doctor, their GP, who can refer them, if necessary, to a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist. But the other thing that people could do if they're concerned is look at some of the very useful resources that are available online. I was going to mention one particular site that's extremely useful, and it's very useful for assessment and also for getting help online, and that is a site called Mental Health Online. So if your listeners wanted to put mental health online into Google, they'd come to some very useful resources.
Yeah, definitely.
But self-diagnosis is probably not the best way to go.
No. What would you say would be the most important thing about, obviously, seeking treatment? What happens if it is left untreated once someone is experiencing the illness?
Oh, look, Brooke, it's a very chronic condition if it's not treated. And many people live with it for very long periods of time because lots of people are embarrassed about the symptoms and lots of people... because the symptoms are those things that many of us do, sometimes are not taken particularly seriously. So people do live with it for long periods. It's not something that, if it is OCD, that tends to recover spontaneously. It usually requires treatment. The other thing about living with it for long periods of time is that because it impacts on people's lives very significantly. If you think about it, concerns about contamination and touching things that might be perceived as dangerous can be very limiting. And I've known people who find it very difficult even to leave the house to get some help, to go to the doctor, to go to the to see a psychologist. And that's why I mentioned the online resources. But these sorts of limitations are often associated with other conditions as well, particularly things like depression. So it's not just living with the symptoms of OCD for long periods of time, but it's also the other conditions that are commonly occur with it. And we use the term comorbid that occur often at the same time.
Yeah, definitely.
So the longer people live with it, the worse the outcome in that regard.
And it is important as well for people, if they think that they are experiencing symptoms of OCD, even if it turns out to not be it is important to do get it checked out and see what happens there.
Absolutely. And not to worry, but rather to get help. And so whether it's through Mental Health Online, I recommend that one because it's very well developed, and it's not just self-assessment, it's possible to contact experts through that site and get help quite immediately if people are worried, but also to seek help from your doctor and from a psychologist if necessary.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it really is an important issue to talk about, especially when there seems to be a misconception about what it actually is and what actually diagnoses OCD.
Yes.
And thank you so much for joining us on the show.
No problem, Brooke. I hope that's been helpful.